for the God who's resurrected me. What a great line, eh? Yeah, let's pray together. Father in heaven, we are so thankful that we can gather together in freedom here this morning. Whether in person, online, we just thank you that your Spirit is among us today. We thank you for the blessing that we have to gather together as a community, to honor you, to worship you, to be reminded of the incredible gift that you have given us in the salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. That faith just empowers us in a way that nothing else in this life can. And by the working of your Spirit inside of us, Lord, we become more Christ-like, and we help to transform the world as Jesus intended us to do. So, Lord, as a church, we pray that we would continue to be a lighthouse, that we would continue to be a place where your Son, Jesus Christ, is preeminent, is glorified, is honored, is indeed Lord of all lords and King of kings. And Lord, we thank you that as we gather together this morning and as we continue to worship you, that you would indeed bless us just by your presence here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It is time for the kids to go to Kids Connection. As everyone is going, all right, have we got room for others to sit, I think? Yeah, come on up. Well, guess what? We're doing communion today. This is the first Sunday of the month. We're going to be introducing all the leadership to you later on, after communion and before the last song, so I want to just prepare everybody for that potential. Also, next week, we start life groups, and next week, we start a 10-part series on the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, we're doing 10 parts of a book that's got a lot to it, but you're going to have homework. I'm sorry. Okay? Yeah. Hard. You know, at least you didn't get out and walk out, you know. Well, here's the homework. Because we're doing an entire book and I just can't, you know, capture all, two chapters at a time, we're going to do our very best. If you could read ahead, maybe have chapters 1 and 2 read by next week. And then be ready, because you're probably going to get questions in the life group material that's not going to be part of the sermon. Oh, no. Okay. All right. But anyway, it's we're going to do a deep dive in the book of Ecclesiastes, and it's such a powerful wisdom book for us to, you know, look at, especially in this season of life. All right. So where are we here? Okay. Oh, we're talking about communion. My story in 3D. Now, we all live our lives in 3D. And the 3D that I'm talking about is the time 3D. We live, you know, in the past, the present, and the future. Okay? Now, our futures are not written already, but you have to admit that part of our past is going to instruct how our future unfolds. Okay? And for many of us, our present is sometimes diminished because of the anxiety of the past and the worry of the future, right? We're all there. We'd love to, you know, really live in the moment, but we know what, you know, how the past affects us, and we know that whatever we think about the present and looking to tomorrow is going to affect us as well. Now, what does this have to do with communion? What does this have to do with the Lord's table? Well, the reality is, if we understand communion properly, it actually talks to us in 3D and invites us into the story of communion. It's not this kind of ritual that we do that is disconnected from, you know, what Jesus did for us, and it's as a memorial. I know we treat it as a memorial, but it has a far deeper significance than sometimes we give it. So I want to read a passage here this morning, and The passage comes out of Matthew. And here it is. As they were eating, this is Jesus in the upper room with his 12 disciples, okay? As they were eating. Now, I don't know, if you get around our table and you interrupt us eating, that doesn't always go well, okay? But here Jesus interrupts the meal. Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take this and eat it, for this is my body." And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. So Jesus has blessed the bread and thanked God for the wine. Okay? Each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. Mark my words. Here's a beautiful statement. I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Okay? Now, you may not realize this, but this particular passage in Matthew comes to us in the midst of betrayal. If you read just before it, it's been revealed that Judas is going to betray Jesus. And Judas actually asked Jesus, and most scholars believe this is a private conversation in the upper room between Jesus and Judas. And Judas says, "Hey, is it me?" And Jesus says, "You've said it." So I don't know about you, but in moments of betrayal, do we go through with the plan? Here is Jesus knowing that betrayal is coming, knowing that something significant is going to happen that's going to kind of undermine what he's about to do. And yet Jesus is steadfast in taking the next steps that are necessary and for which we are thankful for in this day and age. So it's Passover night, as we know it as a celebration that the Jewish people did, remembering the Exodus and these 10 miracles that God enacted on the people of Egypt to release the Israelites from bondage. And 10 plagues, the one that is really significant is the last plague, where the death angel came. Now, to protect the Jewish people, they were to sacrifice a lamb and take the blood of that lamb and put it over the doorpost, the lintels of the doorpost. And when the death angel saw that, it would pass by and protect them. And it was from that moment onward, that time, that celebration onward, is when the Jewish people would have this Passover meal to celebrate that particular event in the past. So it is a table of remembrance. We do have this kind of past element. But you know what's really intriguing? Is part of the Passover meal is lamb. That there was lamb there as a remembrance of an animal that was sacrificed. And the blood put on the door lintel to protect the Jewish people. Now, I find it very interesting that Jesus did not pick up the piece of lamb, that he picked up bread. Because you would think, as the imagery to stay consistent, he would have picked up the piece of lamb. But instead, he picked up a very common, everyday element. This bread, this thing that was easily supplied, easily used as a remembrance going down the road. But do you know what the significance is of that? You know what Jesus is saying to everyone? Because of what I'm about to do, no other creature has to die. No other creature has to die. In fact, there were cultures that even sacrificed children. And Jesus said, what I'm about to do, you never have to do ever, ever again. It is a once for all thing. And we're going to take the simple bread, the simple commodity that we all have every day of our lives, and it's going to represent the sacrifice, this broken body. And we're never going to look over an animal ever again and, you know, grieve for what we had to do because we had to sacrifice it because of our sin. Isn't that beautiful? In the present, it's also a table of grace. That whatever you think this is, that's what expresses right into the very present of our lives, this grace thing. Because Jesus says, take this cup and drink this in remembrance of me, because it is the blood of the covenant. It is my blood. And I'm really shocked by that statement. Because do you know in the Old Testament, it was forbidden to drink blood? And yet Jesus here is using that terminology that probably would have been shocking to the Jewish disciples. What do you mean, drink your blood? In fact, he says that in John 6, and all these people like ran from him. And Jesus says, you know, he even said in that context, are you going to run too to his disciples? And that's another place where Peter said, where are we going to go? You are life. And which is the whole point, because in the Old Testament, you did not drink an animal's blood because you're taking the life essence from that animal and infusing it into yourself. It was the life essence. You didn't play with the life essence because God is the one that ordained that. God is the one that gave that. You don't take that away. It's a sacred, sanctified kind of thing. But Jesus, in this particular case, says, drink my blood, this, whatever imagery you want to use of this, because my life is being given for you. That this blood is life in essence, in power, in authority, in forgiveness, in mercy, in grace. It encompasses all those beautiful things that we as believers accept about the person and the character of Jesus Christ. That it's all subsumed in this memorial that we do once a month. And then lastly, it's this table of hope. It's this beautiful table of hope where Jesus says, I'm not going to drink this again until I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. In fact, some Passover traditions would have an empty chair during the meal to signify someone, you know, that future Elijah, or, you know, the future indication of what this empty chair represents. And I don't know about you, but I know for many of us, we come to this table in the midst of our present reality. I don't know what your week's been like. You've probably had, you know, difficulties this week. But let me remind you that this table speaks into your past. It reminds you that Jesus did something for you that you could never have done for yourself. And Jesus did this out of love for you, out of love for God's creation, to redeem us and forgive us and to make us whole again. Sometimes our past breaks us in ways that, humanly speaking, we can never come back from. Only Jesus can say, whatever the past has been for you, I can make it whole. I don't know what you're going through in your present life right now, but this table is going to represent that Jesus is here through his Spirit right now with us. That he hasn't left us, you know, to our own devices. And we receive his grace whenever we partake of this short meal that represents not only the Passover, but the sacrifice of Jesus. That Jesus became the perfect Passover lamb. And then the future. You know, I've often joked with people, would you ever want to know what the future held for you if it was just 24 hours from now? Would you like to know what 24 hours from now looked like for sure? I don't know how many people have said to me, no way. I would not want to know what 24 hours from now looks like. But I do know one thing. I do know with Jesus, the future is secure. Because he holds that future. And it's a beautiful picture of this 3D life that we live that is both past, present, and future, that Jesus speaks to every one of those dimensions, and he invites us into that story on a very personal level. Now, I'm going to ask those there, we're going to serve communion. This was a really short introduction to communion. But I thought we would participate in communion this morning, obviously, because it's the first of the month. So I'm going to invite those that are serving communion to come up and to be prepared. Now, as we serve communion here at Village Green, I want to remind you that we take up a benevolent offering at the end of communion. I also want to remind you that if you're here and you have made a profession of faith, that we have an open communion here and you are free to participate with us this morning. Because communion is not just the story of Jesus. It's your story shaped in the person of Jesus and what he's done for you. Whatever you have in your past, whatever you have in your present, and whatever you look for in your future. Now I'm going to come down, and after we do communion and collect all the cups and everything, I'm going to introduce all the leadership as well, because this is our leadership Sunday. So everyone that's part of leadership, I'm warning you, you're coming up front. Okay, but you don't have to say anything. All right? You know, before we enter into communion and are reminded how Jesus, you know, affects our past, present, and future, I want to take a moment just to silently reflect, as it tells us to do in 1 Corinthians. I want to challenge you this morning. If there's something that you have to reconcile with God this morning, why not take this moment, sort of silently pray to yourself and ask God for help? Why not take this moment and maybe you're not a believer. Maybe you've been wondering about this Jesus thing all along. Wouldn't it be great for you to celebrate your very first communion as a believer in Jesus Christ, having opened your heart to him? Because as we say here at Village Green, life is always better with Jesus.